Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 672. I am Chris. I don't know where Tony is. So he's not here, but Earl is.
Howdy, and I actually don't have anything critical to say this week, so I'm just going to say hi.
Yeah, and Jeffrey is also here with us.
Tony's eating tacos.
He is doing that. I mean. We do have a photo of some tacos. They look like shrimp tacos covered with cabbage. I think that's what that purple stuff was, cabbage. Something else.
Yeah, some fancy ass taco bullshit.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks because I was visiting out in Jeff's homeland last week. Which a very nice city, by the way, Jeff. Much cleaner than Philadelphia.
You almost got the full Chicago experience.
Did I miss something? Like, what did I miss?
The mall that you went to while you were there was being robbed while you were there.
What?
Fantastic.
I shared it in the group chat and nobody clicked on it, but yeah.
Oh, I must. Huh.
Guys, so you almost got around. You're like, oh, this mall is so nice. Meanwhile, in one of the stores, someone is smashing all the jewelry cases and taking the fucking jewelry.
Wild. Wow.
While you were there, dude.
That's crazy. Like, we must, because like we walked by some jewelry stores and nothing looked. Oh, you know what? No. So there were police outside of one of the shops when we walked by. But like we didn't know why. We walked by. There was like four cops out there,
like real,
and, yeah, like real cops, and also mall security, like three or four mall security. But my wife and I were just like, you know, happily skipping along.
That's so funny, man. When I saw that the next day, I was like, oh my god, dude. I was like kind of mortified actually because I told you to check the mall out, and like. I've never heard of anything happening there, and it's kind of a neat, it's kind of like what I was telling you. It's like, it's weird because it's still like a thriving mall.
It is a time warp, man.
It's really weird.
So I went to another mall. We took my son to a mall. We were just like, cause he didn't want to go back to base. And like, we still had like an hour and a half or so before he had to go back. So he was like, I don't want to go back yet. Like, but there's also nothing to do. There was a mall across from where we ate, so we just went over there and walked around. And it was empty. It was like the mall's here. Like,
oh yeah,
half of the stores are not. There's nothing there. The stores they do have are like the weirdest fucking stores. Paint a mug or something. Like activities. Like,
there's a virtual reality.
There's virtual reality thing.
Yeah.
There was a really cool, actually, gaming cafe, like, but it was in like a gigantic storefront, like it's a place that, like, a Borders would have had years ago, and it was like, this is a prime storefront location in an old mall, and you know, this gaming lounge is in it. But yeah, the mall you sent us to, they were like, this is a cool mall. It was like, wow, like every storefront filled, the food court complete, like everyone filled, different restaurant, like different fast food restaurants. People there shopping. Interesting thing about that mall is their anchor stores aren't what you would traditionally think of as anchor stores. Like, I mean, to me, like, when I think of a mall, it's like Macy's, JCPenney, like, those are the anchor stores. This had a Target and a Dick's and I think a Hobby Lobby and a Best Buy.
Best Buy, yeah.
Like, but smart, like, because those are stores that, I mean, I don't know about Best Buy, but people go to Target, people go to Dick's, they go to Kohl's. Because they're more reasonably priced than maybe a Macy's.
It is just such a weird anomaly. And to give Earl a little context here, this is the mall. This is the GameStop I worked at, is in this mall. But yeah, it is it's even like doing better than it was when I was there, because a lot of those anchor stores were not there when I worked there. All that was there was the Best Buy. And I want to say where the Target is now, that was like a Macy's or something. And so, yeah, they're like, I don't know, that village or that neighborhood there, like, smartly is using that space and somehow keeping the neighborhood coming back there. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's, and actually, like, even like the surrounding areas around it, like, thriving. Like, there was people in all the, like, little shops that are outside. Like, there's little strip malls and stuff outside, and like that whole area looked like really nice. Evidently, like, crime everywhere, but
well, no, that's the thing that, like, cracks me up, is because, like, man, it's just so random that that happened while you were there, because, like, nothing ever happens there. It's, again, it's a pretty good, like, that neighborhood that you're in.
Yeah,
it's like a lot of cop and firemen, like, live there and shit. It's totally, like, so I would have no problem. I mean, I used to live there, so
that
I would move back.
When we drove through, and we kind of like swung around and went back from where the pizza place we ate at, but even there was a little reminiscent. Like, this reminds me of, like, Northeast Philly, which is where I grew up as a kid. Not quite it. Like, I'm a little bit closer. Where I grew up was, like, right at the border, so a little bit less, built up. But definitely, like, there, like, and lots of, like, cop families, and, like, because they all moved from the inner city to, like, the outer edges of it, and it was, like, very, like, this seems very much like that, except it's clean. Like, it's, like, in Northeast Philly, there's just trash all over the place. And
yeah, your impressions of Chicago were funny to me. Like, oh, it's clean. I was like, oh, really? I wouldn't have thought that.
Like, no,
it must be, like, fucking dirty.
Oh, my God. Like, we got off the airplane, and there's just, like, it looked like, We're going down the escalator to get our bags from the baggage carrier, and it looked like somebody just, like, poured soda down, like, the middle of the escalator, like, not where you're standing, but, like, on the, like, right over the railing, like that strip that also, like, goes down. It's like a slide almost, and it's just like, oh, it's wonderful to be back. Like, everything just looks like shit here.
Oh, this is back in Philly.
Yeah. It's like, oh, what a nightmare. Like, it's like, there was, like, we saw a little bit of, like, litter and stuff, but it was generally not, like, it wasn't trashy. And, like, I think Earl is staying in Chinatown, which I think is one of the cleaner parts of the city. Yeah, I'll be interested to hear, like, once he walks into our subway and sees all the trash there. Like, like, no, this place is dirty.
And you did get to see, like, downtown Chicago, right? Like, you guys went to the aquarium there?
Yeah, we went to the aquarium. We were in the theater district. What's it, Union Station and Ogilvy Station or whatever. Like, they're, I think they're, like, right across the street from each other. We went into one of them. Actually, your subway system, I don't know if it's a subway or, but your public transportation was very well coordinated. Like, easy to hop on.
Oh, from, like,
have any problems.
Well, yeah, and then, like, you know, like, Ogilvy's kind of like the center, so you could go, I think you guys had to hop on a bus or whatever after that. Like, it's all, everything goes out of there, you know, like.
Yeah, so we actually took an Uber from, we went to this museum called the Medieval Torture Museum. Like, we were, like, looking for shit to do in the city, and, like, oh, that seems interesting. Like, we don't have one of those in our city. Less interesting than you'd be led to believe.
I told you don't $30. Do it.
You did. My son was like, yeah, let's still go. Like we're outside, and, like, this seems really sketchy. And it was, like, I mean, they had a lot of stuff. It was bigger than I thought it would be. But also, it was, like, somebody just printed out some placards and put them on the wall with
their
medieval torture stuff.
That's so I have not, I did not know that Chicago had a torture museum, but I've been to one in Wisconsin Dells, and it very much comes off like this really cheap boardwalk attraction where it's just like, here's a couple, like some of the stuff didn't even look real. Like, I'm like, is this like rubber? Like, it's not, like, I don't know. And then they're just like, there's like pronouncements of like John Wayne Gacy on the walls and shit, like, and like newspaper clippings about him. I'm like, that has nothing to do with medieval torture. What? What is this? Like, it was just, I think I paid $10 to walk through that museum in the Dells, and I regretted it. So I tried to tell you. You know, the one thing I did try to tell you to do in downtown was the Art Institute, which has a lot of very famous art.
Yeah, my son did not seem like he wanted to go and hang out in an art museum. He did want to go to the aquarium, so we did do that.
Yeah.
Big aquarium. Not my favorite aquarium I've ever been in. But they did have a beluga whales, so that was neat. I don't think I've ever seen them before.
I remember when you told me you were going, I was like, I don't know. I don't have an opinion on this. I went there once so long ago. It is like, I don't know if you kind of noticed when you're there, like you're like kind of way south of everything at that aquarium.
Yeah, so, you are. We did see the bean though on our Uber back back to the train station.
Well, that was one reason I told you to go to the Art Institute too, is because it's near all of that. It's near the bean. It's near the Navy Pier. And kind of like,
yeah, he didn't want to do the Navy Pier either. She was like, that's like that's where like a bunch of people are going. Like, that's the generic thing that like everybody does. Like, it's like, I don't want to do that.
Also probably better in the summertime to go there. I don't know. Like, but when we go downtown, which, you know, try to do like at least once a summer, like you should do like a little loop. And kind of go from like the Art Institute over to the Navy Pier and then up north and then go all the way down Michigan Avenue, which just has a bunch of like cool shops. And you got the Hancock building there. You could go up and this and that. But well, I'm happy you didn't like get mugged or robbed or, and you found it clean.
We did find it clean. We were, and this has happened in every city I've ever been in: Boston, New York, Miami. But I think my son stands out a little bit more because he had to wear his uniform the entire time. So like he's like a beacon, right? Like people like look at him like, why is he wearing that funny hat? Or, you know what? Why is he carrying this giant backpack? Because he had to have all of that stuff on him at all times. So we did get a homeless guy. Two of them actually came up and they're panhandling whatever. But they talked to my son for like 10 minutes while we were waiting for an Uber, and just like, hey man, like, you know, you're doing the right thing. Like I messed up my life. I was like, oh, wow, this is going south real quick. But like they weren't mean, like they weren't like pushy or anything.
Oh, no, they're just,
They just wanted to talk to me. I was like, whatever, like I'm more than willing to listen to you tell me your story. I unfortunately do not carry cash anymore at all, so I can't help you out, but I kind of wish I could, but I don't have anything to help you with.
The first time I went down there with my wife, who we live like an hour outside of the city, and she grew up here, and so she's like not used to the city. She doesn't like driving down there, it freaks her out. And but first time we went downtown, any homeless person or whatever that was like trying to talk to her, she was like stopping, like, oh, like trying to like listen to what they had to say, fucking, oh, let me sell you a newspaper. She's like, okay, here you go. Like, here's $2 or whatever. I'm like, listen, you could just keep walking. They're used to it. You know,
yeah, I mean, I think people that like are used to the city and
it's just like, I think people that are not too, like, she kind of had like a sign on her head, like, oh, this person's a sucker. Like, She'll listen to you.
And like we were just like, we're literally just standing outside of a Starbucks as we were waiting for the Uber to pick us up to take us to the aquarium. And so like my wife and I, we're not familiar with the place, so like we probably look like we're out of 10. He definitely looks out of place because he's wearing a full-on Navy sailor outfit. Like, so yeah, it's like you kind of just have like a spotlight on you, and it's like, but yeah, nothing bad happened. So it was a fun time, enjoyable. We went to a Portillo's. You said that we did not have a hot dog. That's what they did serve us hot dogs, but they had chili and cheese on them.
Earl, did you catch this shit in the fucking group chat?
No, I saw some of it, but
he went to Chris went to the city of Chicago, and
yes, well, I did.
I've been preaching about for years. The Italian beef, first and foremost.
Yes, especially with the bear now,
which I don't think
I did not. I was thinking about it on Sunday. I was like, I cannot eat anymore. after I had food with you,
and you were right by Mr. Beef, which is what the bear is based on. It's right there. Yeah. It's right outside the mall. But yeah, Chris went to Portillo's, which is like it's
famous kind of hot dog place, right?
Yeah. Like, well, I'd say more for the beefs. Okay. But like, if you want a traditional Chicago hot dog, like the drag through the garden dog with all bullshit on it.
Yep.
They have it, and it's a pretty good one, right?
Yeah, sure.
Tell me what you got.
I did not get that, no. I got a chili cheese dog.
I was so taken aback by this that I was like talking about it that night. I went to go play poker. I'm in my buddy's garage, and I'm telling him, like, dude, my buddy just visited Chicago for his first time. He went to Portillo's. Like, oh yeah, how you like it? I'm like, he got a chili cheese dog, and that got some reactions.
Healthy, positive reactions.
Oh yeah,
they definitely love my choices.
So one guy who is not even from Chicago, he's from here, and so like people from here like will put ketchup on their hot dogs and shit. Like an hour outside of Chicago, you're good. You do what you want. I told him this. He goes, "What are you fucking 8 years old?"
Yes, I am.
Proof. He's not approving it.
I am a giant 8 year old.
You did get to try a famous Chicago pizza. Now it is like the deep dish, which I have for years told you guys that's not the real Chicago pizza. But I figured while you're here, you could try one. Which I think you told me while we were eating that. They do have this elsewhere. Like they have it by you,
right? Yeah, I mean, like we have an Uno, like so they sell
Unos. That's right. Yeah.
But this type of pizza specifically, like I mean, we have pan pizza. Like it's just you know it's a deeper dish of pizza than like you know regular pizza.
Yeah.
I don't think the crust is quite as thick. I don't think I've ever had crust quite as thick as that outside of like Uno. And I think that pizza is awful. Like I think Uno's pizza is not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But this was great. Like excellent, excellent pizza.
It was good. And it, you know, again, it's not, you know, that's something that you eat once in a while here, like I said, like, but I was like, I should show them, like, one of the famous, you know, like, it is, like, kind of the famous one for, like, people who know in Chicago. Like, there's the one that's, like, everywhere called Giordano's, or there's, like, Uno, like you said.
Yeah.
But, like, people in the know, Pequod's is, like, the best. And it's, like, it is more famous now because it was like the subject of an episode of The Bear in season 2.
Okay.
Now it's like, again, I hadn't been there since I was like a kid, but like going in there now, I was like, holy shit. It was like 2 PM on a Sunday. It was fucking packed.
It was packed.
Packed, meaning there was like 30 people because that's how small the restaurant is.
Yeah, but every table that they had in there was full.
But yeah, and I thought that I thought it was good. Yeah, like the crust, when you get to the crust at the end, it's, you know, very good. But our fucking server sucked.
Yeah, it was not great. Like was not attentive of us at all. The other pizza you got, which with the thin crust, Melissa called it like cracker crust. Is that a normal, like, is that what you guys would normally get? Like, or
no, if you're going to Pequod's, you're going to get the, that's probably, no,
like in general, like, is that like, or is that?
Yeah. But like, honestly, like, I think that like DeKalb has some better options than that pizza was, like their thin crust. But yeah, okay. It's like kind of like that. That was like super cheesy, that one too. It was like,
yeah, it was great.
But
I'm not a there's no complaints for me on adding extra cheese. So.
But yeah, like that thin crust pizza type shit you get everywhere and anywhere, and it's one of the only things in DeKalb that we actually have that I would say is as good as Chicago, because there's so many pizza options here. But yeah, I don't know. What'd you think of the weird cut of the pizza? That's kind of like the
thing that was weird. My wife found that weird too. So Earl, so their pan pizza. Well, let me see. When you think of a pizza, Earl, what do you think a slice of pizza is?
Well, I mean,
he's from New York, so
it's the same. I would think as well.
It's a very different. I mean, it's essentially a triangle.
Yes.
With some crust. And then
That's how they cut our pan pizza, or you know, the deep dish pizza, or whatever you want to call it. This thin crust, cracker crust pizza was. It's really hard to explain because they're not all squares.
Yeah,
they cut them. They just draw like lines. They make a grid basically. They cut the pizza into a grid. So some of the middle pieces are like squares, and there's no crust around the edge. And then like the edges are these like, you know, curved, but weird shaped. Very weird cut of pizza,
and it's, you know, to me that's there's nothing weird about that. It's just what I've been eating my whole life. I always though like
places that had normal cuts.
So like for instance, the best pizza place by me, if you just order a pizza from them, it comes in the classic New York style cut, like
slices of pizza, like, and by slices, yeah. Like, you know, the. Little triangle.
The triangle. If I ask for the cracker crust, like the thin crust, that's when they do it Chicago style with the grid, with the squares. And I mean, that's just so common. Like anywhere you go in Chicago, but you know, like you see both. Like it's not like if you order Domino's here, it's fucking still Domino's. It's not like. Right, yeah. So like,
and we ate it up. You know, my son, as soon as we got out of off the Navy base, he just wanted some food that had some flavor. So he was like, "Can we just get a pizza?" We ended up at a Pizza Hut, and it was they cut it like Pizza Hut pizza.
Wait, what happened to Popeyes?
He did not want to go to a Popeyes. I don't know why. He did originally, but yes, then he was just like, "I just want pizza."
Okay, I think that was what George told us.
Yeah,
was that he wanted a Popeyes.
He changed his mind, so we just ended up getting a pizza. So I ate a lot of pizza on my trip to Chicago.
I will tell you this about the square cut pizza, though. I am the guy that like keeps eating the pizza until there's no more crust pieces left, and then I'm like, "Fuck you!" Like the centerpieces could go fuck themselves.
Yeah, it's like their heart, like right. It's like with the crust pieces, like you have that edge to hold on to.
It's a handle, yeah. You got like a little handle, and plus the crust is the treat at the end, for at least for me. I see weirdos who like eat pizza up until the crust and then throw it across the way. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, you do it. How you actually eat a crust? is you eat some of the pizza, then you rip off the crust, and you dip it in the grease that the cheese makes on top of the pizza. So you get like this nice all-you bread stick, and then, you know, then you eat the rest of the pizza because you already sapped up the grease with the bread, and it's good to go. Because I know sometimes the debate is, like, do you eat the crust first? Because, like, yeah, it's weird to have the crust, yeah, because the crust is the least favorable part. So I'm like, I try to eat some of the pizza, then the crust, then the rest of the pizza.
I think as long as the crust is good. So I've had pizza with bad crust, and I don't want to eat that. But, like, if the crust is good, I will definitely eat it.
I'm saving it. Like, that, to me, I'm working towards the crust. And
are you?
Yes. Like, I want the crust. That's my favorite part. And in my opinion, like, no, but, like, the Chicago, like, thin crust, like, it's like a, almost like a cracker at the end. I don't know. It's so good, dude. Like, it's not like a big doughy thing.
So when Earl and I think of pizza, like, it is, it's like the crust is like the handle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with your thin crust, it is like this kind of like, you know, cheese encrusted cracker.
Yeah.
That has kind of been like a little bit toasted. So it's a different. Thing.
I have them both here. Like, you know, go one way or another, but when you get that like actual thin crust with like the kind of the cracker, oh man, that crust is the best. But I like the big for instance, Papa John's. I like when I get the crust for that because then you get the garlic dipping sauce.
Yes. You know.
Anyways,
very nice city. I would definitely come back. I still don't. I know that you're like disappointed in my hot dog choices.
But, oh my god!
If I do, maybe I'll get an Italian beef next time. They did. I'm gonna
fucking ship you out some Italian beef.
So,
Jesus Christ.
So, how offensive is a cheddar beef? Because that I saw
it's
that on a
couple.
That's
not a thing. That's not. I don't know what you're talking about.
It was on a couple of the menus in these places.
At Arby's?
No, on at Portillo's they had one.
You said that to me, and I said, like, I that stood out when you said that to me, because I said it mostly. I go, what the fuck is a cheddar beef? She's like, I have no idea. Like, if it's on the menu, I never noticed it.
It looked like they just take the beef from your
like Italian a normal beef and just put, like,
they just mix it in a cheese sauce.
Like, they put, like, nacho cheese over it, like, fucking.
I don't think it's cheese. I think it's cheddar, but.
But is it like nacho cheese, like a big,
it looks definitely like it's a cheese sauce, not a slice of cheese.
Okay. Do that in Philly. You come to Chicago, you gotta do like the real thing. You gotta see what the real thing is. Fucking chili cheese, motherfucker.
All right. Well, so I did travel, and I traveled with the Steam Deck, and I played Balatro.
Yeah.
Which you have both of you have, praised.
Yeah.
Yes. And I am 100% with you guys. That game is phenomenal.
And you're not even like a big poker guy, right? Like,
not a poker guy. I'm not really a card guy, really. This is a wonderful, I was just thinking about this a little while before the show. I was like, Blotcher could be like one of those like forever games, and not in the sense that, like, you know, it's the only game I ever need, but it's like a game like Tetris, like where you just play it, right? You boot it up. Every run is going to be different because there's different, you know, different randomness that can happen.
Yeah.
And like, there's skill to putting together a good hand of poker, but there's also like the jokers or the modifiers. So like, you're not always building a perfect hand of poker. Sometimes you have a joker that's like, hey, just play three cards.
Yeah,
it's like Earl said, it pushes you to play poker differently every time, which is neat. And honestly, I feel like it is the perfect video game version of poker. Like you said, it's like, yeah, there's Texas Hold'em. You can play that online. I love that. That's great. But like, as a game, as a solo game, it's really smartly designed game of poker that, like, I think has like real legs to stick around. Like,
yeah, I gotta say, for Chris, because you said you're not a big poker person.
No,
it's like I'm very curious because, like, I feel like again, like you may not, like, again, like, you know, like if you play poker, your head's wired in a certain way that, like, you know, like a straight flush is like the best hand you can get.
Flush, yeah, flush. Like I know the. I know, no, the basics, like, of poker.
You get the basics, but it's like, oh, like in some cases, I don't want to go for those things. It's exactly, the opposite, yes, of what I. It's the opposite of what I want to do, or like, and it's like, oh, maybe I don't want a full deck of 52 cards. Can I get rid of some of these cards?
I didn't think of that one. I didn't think of like removing cards, but I also didn't get that option. But
yeah. And it's stuff like that. Or like there's times where it's like, oh, we'll change all of these cards to a certain, like, a number or a certain suit. And I'm like,
yeah,
you wouldn't necessarily do that. And sometimes it does bite you in the ass because it's like, I want to change all of these to diamonds. And then like the boss buff is like, oh, all diamonds are like, oh, god damn it.
But like, yeah, they're all debuffed and you can't use any of them. It's like, oh. Yeah.
But, like, yes, the fact that, like, it does wire your brain to play poker differently, and to your point, it's like, you may get a hand, like, I've had hands where it's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna focus on three of a kind, or, like, oh, you know, like, you can get the joke where it's like, you only need four cards for a straight or a flush. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna focus on that, and, like, you get wired, and you get into the zone, and, like, the next one is, like, something completely different. It's like, god damn it, I have to focus on, like, what, like, oh, crap, what's in my deck this time, and what do I need to add, and what's gonna, like, really kind of juice up my numbers. So, but yes, it's just a really fun, and I think, as you said, on the Steam Deck, I have it on the Switch, it's also just a really great kind of, I don't want to say mobile game because I think people think differently of that, but like a portable.
Yeah, it's a very handheld portable, so it plays real well in that instance. Yes. A question for you guys: have either of you completed a run?
I have not yet, but
neither have I. Like, I've gotten to six, I think anti six, which isn't like, I mean, there's evidently multiple difficulties, like, so. Yeah,
but I mean, but like, I think the first one, like anti eight, is like, I think the,
yeah,
I got to seven, and it's like one of those where it's like, oh, you build your hand this way, and like that joker just kind of, or like, there's like, not the joker, the buff buff, because there's like one where I think you can, like, one hand.
Yes, I've gotten that one where you have one hand to play to beat the boss.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know what to do here. Like, I know what to do, but it's like, I mean, this is built around like a combo, or like, you know, like if I don't get rid of cards and I don't get the hand I want, you're just kind of screwed, because like, you need that perfect hand with all these multipliers and everything.
Yeah, that's one thing. That's like, I don't know though. It's a game that's designed to be played over and over. So like, one time you're gonna get that perfect combination of everything. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and that, I mean, it's part of why I like roguelikes. I kind of accept that like, they are not gonna be fair all the time. It's going to be like you had the perfect run, and then it's like that one count. And it's not the game's being mean. It's just like, this is a game that was set up, and you just ran into something because you don't know the boss until you get to that ante. So, like, yeah, freeze like the first five, and like that sixth one's just like, yeah, I'm going to screw your hand over so bad. And you really got two turns to try to fix that.
It is exactly like you said. It's like, you could be having the most crazy good run. Like, you're so, like, I'm going to beat this game, and then... Yeah, you get to that Annie where it's like, cards are face down, or you have to do this. Or, yeah, and it's just like, oh man.
Face down ones, I feel, because like, I end up mostly, I just end up junking a bunch of the cards.
That's a good play, too, yeah.
Yeah, because especially if it's the one where all of your cards are face down when you start, I'm like, I can't do anything.
What do you want me to do with it? You want me to waste a hand here? Like,
yeah, but the ones where it's like, oh, half it. I'm like, okay, that I can work with, because you can kind of do suits and you can do numbers. And I've gotten lucky a few times where I've actually pulled out like flushes on that, because I'm like,
yeah,
okay, I can kind of see like in between this, like there's enough cards that like if I play one or the other, either way, like there's an odd that this is my favorite.
Yeah, there's a strategy. Yeah, there's a strategy to that. But yeah, again, it's like, usually I'm like, I'm doing rank up and I go, okay, hopefully this is a straight, probably not, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But then it also kind of sucks because, again, like, you know, if you're going for a specific type of hand, like, yes, I can hope for a flush, but like what I really need are like two pairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's great though. I still think it's a little overpriced for what it is, but like, it's just cool to me that everyone I've like, first off, you're the one, you know, you deserve the credit. You saw this first, although I had read about it. But, you know, I told Chris to get it. He likes it. I won Buddy, he loves it. He says he's beat it. I was like, because I was at poker there. I was like, have you been playing it? He's like, yeah. Have you beaten it yet? I was like, yeah or no. He's like, you haven't? I was like, no.
It's like one of those, like, you just have to get, like, you just have to get a good run of luck where, you know, you're getting boss blinds that you can beat and continue to get your card multipliers up. And I've run into some rough ones where it's like every hand played this round is no good anymore.
Yeah. It's like, okay. Oh, all my tendencies are fucked now. Okay, great.
Or there's like one where it's like a hand, and every time you play it, it decreases its value. So like you go into the boss and it's like 0x0. I'm like, God damn it.
Some really neat ideas in that too. And the one thing I do, and I guess like I wish there was some permanence.
Something. Yeah.
I mean, I guess the only thing is you do unlock like the. But I guess you didn't unlock them. You unlock them, beat them in the game. But you unlock jokers and stuff and decks.
That's
part of it. It's like each deck. It's like, you know, one deck is like, oh, you get more gold. One deck, I think the blue deck, you get more. I think you get an extra card, which you know can come in handy. So like, I guess that's what they're going for. It's like the decks are kind of the thing that's like, oh, this can be easier or harder for you.
Yeah, like you get one extra draw, or you get one extra hand, or more money, or. But I just wish there was like some way to, because like, what are they, celestial cards, the planet cards? Like they boost your multiplier for certain hands. I wish there were some permanence like to something. Like, all right, I can always have this and rely on this to help me get through some. Like I'm
even if
better.
It was like a choice, like okay, you could always keep three celestial cards, or you know what I mean, like this is what's in your rotation, like that's what you could use, and you know maybe if you want to change it out later, go ahead, but yeah, you're gonna have this, you've unlocked this, you could use it permanently going forward.
But I do think I will, like it's just a game that, like all year long I'm just gonna leave it on my Steam Deck and like, oh, I got a couple minutes. I'm gonna do a run through this. We'll see how it goes.
For sure, it's great.
Great game. I actually I got it on CD Keys, which is a code site. They sell like discounted codes, and I actually got it for like $10.19, so a little bit less than $15. So like, yeah, there's sales out there on it too. Excellent game. I think very good chance it ends up in my top 10 for the year. So
far,
I think Tony should give it a go. I know he plays some cards. I think he might enjoy it.
Tony would love it. And, I would also recommend that Sean, I don't think Sean has played it yet. Both of them, I think would love it.
Just one other thing on the Steam Deck, it's heavier. Like I don't notice it when I'm playing it, but that is a heavy device. We had to pull it out of my suitcase. I bought my son one, and it was in my carry-on, not in the carry-on. It was in my stowed luggage, and it actually was putting my suitcase over the weight limit, so we had to pull it out. it's not super light, and when you're carrying two of them around an airport, it's a little bit heavier. Battery life not phenomenal, but Also, I don't know what the Switch battery life is either, like mobile wise. Do you guys have any idea?
An hour or two. Quit for what?
For the Switch, the normal battery.
Yeah, the normal battery, the default, I think, is like 3 to 5 hours. The OLED, I think, is 7 to 10. And again, that will vary on the games. Like, I think the one people tend to use as an example was Breath of the Wild, because that was...
And it probably eats it faster, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, you're going to... If you're playing like a Tetris or like a Puyo Puyo, you're going to have like something, a better battery life than you would. But like, yeah, I think the OLED is closer to 10.
Yeah, so I was mostly playing Balatro, and it's getting about 4 hours of battery life on it, which isn't
terrible.
It's not great, but it seems comparable to like what the original Switch is as well. So it's not awful. And it wasn't like I was flying across the country where I needed something for 5 hours. So, not bad at all.
I can't get the shit out of flight. I just I'll try to start reading a book or playing a game, and I'm just like, fuck. I need a drink.
Jeff and I also learned we are neurotic in a lot of the same ways. We over worry about things like the airplane falling apart while we're in the sky.
I mean, the news coverage lately kind of like adds to that, though. You know what I mean?
I was going to ask, was that a thing before the news coverage, or has it been exacerbated by the news coverage?
I always just imagine the worst thing that could possibly happen and what it would be like to die that way. And so, like, for me personally, it's always been a thing. But, like, news coverage doesn't help. Like, they're always like, oh, this, something's bound to happen eventually. It's like... Thank you.
See, I kind of get that, but I guess because like I'm also like because like oh whenever you get board a plane, sometimes like oh you have if you're in the emergency exit row, you have certain duties, and I'm like yeah, I'll take it. I'd never expect anything to happen. I'm like it's a bag room, but like I assume that would not be you folks. You're like oh no, what's gonna happen? Can I endure? Am I gonna like you're on air fantasy enough to be like okay. Like when the oxygen mask falls, you put it on over your face and stuff like that. I'm like,
dude, if the oxygen mask fell, I'm gonna shit my pants. I'm gonna die. Like, you've had oxygen mask fall?
No. I'm saying like when they go over that, is that the thing where you're like, oh gosh, this is like that's when you start freaking out.
No, I start freaking out when takeoff is happening, like as we're going down the runway.
Oh, what about turbulence?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is less so just because I know it's turbulence, but it's still like any sound I hear, anything, dude. I'm just like, bolts falling out, and that's it.
I mean, again, it's one of those things where like, I don't disagree, but it's always, they always say, like, you're more likely to die in a car crash than you are in an airplane. Just because I think because airplane accidents become bigger news, but like, car crashes happen more often. And like, I mean, I don't know about the Boeing stuff. I know it's been like, how many many people died from that?
None. And
I don't know if anybody has like,
yeah. Cause I think it's always been like, it's got caught.
I can give you cause all right. When I, there is a subreddit called Fear of Flying, and like the last time I flew, I went on there, and there's like a guy on there who's a pilot, and he laid out some facts, and these are true. And there has not been a death on an American airline since 2009.
I assume when you say death, like of death from the flight, and I'm sure some people have expired on planes.
Yeah, maybe, but there's not been a death due to like an accident or something since 2009, and that accounts for like maybe hundreds of millions of flights at this point. Like every year you're talking millions and millions of flights, so yeah, it's a pretty safe way to travel statistically, but I just in my head can't get past like what if it goes wrong, if I'm the unlucky one. Like I guess I will have to live through that, because then you're just there and you're stuck. And that's the other thing that drives me crazy is like not having the control of what's happening, you know?
Yeah. That's a lot of it for me is like, what if something goes bad on this plane? And like, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. Like, I am just in this tube, just hoping that the people up front can handle it and can get it down.
Yeah.
And it
sucks. It sucks so, being a scared white knuckle flyer or whatever they call it.
Getting on the plane, like my plane out to Chicago was delayed multiple times. The plane was there, like we could see it. They just were not allowing us to board it, and then it got delayed, and then delayed again, and then delayed a third time. And then they were like, "Yeah, we're leaving at this time," and we're all standing there, and they still hadn't started boarding us. And when we get onto the plane, there are all these guys in maintenance jackets, like up in the cockpit. Yeah,
no, that's I'm freaking out.
And then we take off. And it was the rockiest takeoff I've ever experienced. And then it was very turbulent for maybe the first 15, 20 minutes of our flight. It's like, did they fuck something up? Like, they said it was good, but is this just normal turbulence? Or is this, like...
Something's missing on the plane.
was this the plane? Like, we don't know. Like, they just haven't made the announcement yet. And
we're all going to die.
Dude, I'm sorry. I go through that.
Like, yeah, you just in like, and then if you have an active imagination, which I think both Jeff and I have, like you start creating scenarios of things in your head of like what is going on. It's not healthy. It's not right either, because you guys said we're likely very safe. It's just, you know, our mental illness takes over a little bit. All right. Earl, did you play anything this past week?
Nothing new. I think I discussed RoboQuest before. Fortnite is always a constant. And I've gone back to Just Dance. Just because I'm finding I've become a couch potato, so it's a nice way to kind of at least get up every day and actually move my body at home. I go back to an ode to Just Dance. Because, like, this always online Just Dance is just so soda-oed up and stuff like that. Like, just give me a set of songs and not worry about connecting to an internet and all this other stuff. But
The latest one, 2024?
This is, I think, 2023.
Okay. I don't actually think I've ever played Just Dance. Played Dance Central.
What?
Yeah, I mean...
I'm shocked by that.
I played Dance Central, but I don't think I've ever actually played Just Dance. I don't know. Is it different, like dramatically?
I don't think they're different. I think the one thing, especially since they moved on from the Wii, is Just Dance is a lot more forgiving because, like right now, with the Switch you have one hand. Everything. So like I think Dance Central tracks your body movement.
Yeah, it had the whole Kinect camera and it would get your whole body infrared.
Yeah, so where it is, it's just like your hand. So part of it for me is getting up and moving. So I get up. Like I've had friends who I've seen play and they would just go on the couch and just move their hand. Because again, it's not even tracking the hand, it's just tracking
the movement.
Yeah.
That's like me when I play Wii Bowling, I just like leave my arm off the side of the couch and do it that way.
That's fun.
You gotta get up and then do it.
It works, that's the problem.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy Just Dance. Are they still like $60 releases or
I don't know. I mean, I got this. I think I got this because, again, it's an Ubisoft game. So I got it when it was on sale for like $20-$25 or something like that. So.
It's like I've been playing like a game while I'm on the bike, but maybe something like Just Dance would work. Because unfortunately the Kinect is not compatible with the Series X. So. All right. Jeff, we will get to your big game in one moment. But I played the new Alone in the Dark. Played about 3.5 hours of it.
That came out? Holy shit.
Yeah, two days before Dragon's Dogma.
Haven't heard a fucking peep.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you, I love this game.
Okay.
It is a classic survival horror game, more focused on, it's more on the adventure side of that type of stuff, where you're
puzzling.
It's doing puzzles, yes.
Yeah.
You are finding clues throughout, like, the mansion or hotel or wherever you're at. It's a really big house, like, basically you're exploring. And you're getting clues there, and you're piecing those clues together and sliding like, keys around. Like, you have circular keys, and you're, like, rotating them to get in the right position. Or you're, all right, so, like, one of the ones was, like, you need to find the code to the box to get whatever was in the box. But then there's, like, you have, like, half of the cipher, and then you have to figure out what it matches to. So, like, you're looking for that, and it's like, oh, there's these pictures of 12 people, and they all have a number underneath them, or they all have, like, a sign of the zodiac underneath them. And then you have this other piece of paper which has the zodiacs in, like, a numerical order. So then you have to, like, figure out, all right, which zodiac works for, you know, the clue that you have, so that you can use that to unlock stuff. So, like, neat, like, classic puzzle-y stuff. The combat's not great. There is some combat. It's not phenomenal, but it's serviceable enough that, like, I'm not like, oh, this is awful.
And the focus is not on that. Like, it's more on...
No, there are definitely, like, areas, like, where it's like, oh, you're in an area where there's some enemies. So you can try to sneak around them, and they give you some other, there's, like, you can, like, pick up a brick and throw the brick and, like, you know, throw it across and, like, distract the monsters, and they'll walk away. So you can try to sneak around them. I'm terrible at that, so I always just end up killing them.
You use your three bullets.
Yeah. And so then you're, like, frantically looking around, like, the rooms and stuff, the lockers, like, there's all stuff that you can open, and trying to find more bullets or, you know, shotgun shells, or, you know, trying to find a melee weapon. They break. I'm not a fan of that. So, like, you hit an enemy. I think I got, like, 5 hits out of a pipe, and then it broke, and I was like, oh shit, like, because I hadn't killed the second enemy yet. The story's fine. Jodie Comer is the lady, and I can't think of the guy who he's pretty big actor as well. Not big, but
I mean, she's pretty big.
Yeah, like,
sort of. Yeah, she's, like, up and coming.
David Harbour.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
Yeah, like, they're the two leads here. They do some neat things where, you know how, like, in Resident Evil, you pick up, like, you know, here's, like, a log or whatever, and, like, you read it gives you some, like, flavor text. They're all that stuff is voice acted, so, like, you pick it up and you could play it and it'll play it out. Or you could read it if you want, but like, there's just, like, some neat touches. I don't think it's worth. It's a $60 game. This is probably better priced at, like, $40 or so. I think that would entice people to give it a try, but I'm really liking it. It's exactly what I was hoping it would be when they announced it. That, like, hey, we're kind of remaking, reimagining the original Alone in the Dark, which takes place in, like, 1920-something Louisiana.
When did that come out? Like the 80s?
The original, it was 1992.
Okay.
Wow.
So it was the original one was 1992, and it was, I think it was like on DOS or something like that. And it is considered inspirational to the original Resident Evil. Because it was a trying to think of what the pre-rendered backgrounds and,
yeah,
but like 3D, and it had like the tank controls at the time. This doesn't have tank controls, like you're just free moving. You can walk and point your gun at the same time, and
does that
it has fixed, like the modern conveniences.
Does that have fixed camera angles, or is it behind the shoulder?
No, it is behind the shoulder.
Okay.
But I mean, I think everything looks good enough. Like it's not a looker. It's not like oh my god, this is a phenomenal looking game. This is like gonna melt your PS5 or your Series X. it looks good enough, and like for what it's doing exactly what I want out of it. The way the game plays is pretty trippy. So, oh, and the other thing I really love about it is, you know how in the original Resident Evil 1 and 2, you could play as, you had two different characters, and you play as them, and their games are slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they're not the exact same game played by, I'm playing as Chris Redfield, and, but now I'm playing as Jill Valentine, and it's the same game. It's just I'm playing as Jill. No, like they explore different areas of the house, and especially in 2, where you're playing as Claire and Leon, like their games are drastically different. I feel that that's what happens here, because I'm playing as the guy detective, and Emily. She goes off on her own, and she's doing other things, and like she comes in and she'll interact with you at different points in the game, but like you're doing a completely different thing. So her playthrough is going to be like playing a whole different game when I finally get around to it. So I think that's pretty cool. Like there's a reason to play as the two different characters. And the way it, the way some of, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but like the Barnby, the detective, he's like experiencing like lapses in sanity where he thinks he's like being transported other places. So like you'll walk through a door and like there'd be some flashing lights, and then all of a sudden you're in New Orleans. Like you're not in the mansion anymore. So like you're on a street in New Orleans, and it's at nighttime, and like you're there's monsters on the street. So you're trying to get to like the corner store that has the light on at it. Like, and that has happened like multiple times. Like I've explored a cemetery that's not in this mansion that I'm in. It's just like a different realm, a different portal that I've jumped through. It's a neat way of keeping everything in the house, but also like, allowing you to maneuver around and have different areas. Neat game. There's a lot of stuff out right now though. So, maybe it's something people could come back to later in the year.
I swear to God, I have not seen a review of it. Like,
it's on Steam. It's pulling in like mostly positive reviews, but I think it pulled in like 65 75s on OpenCritic.
It's not bad.
No,
for what it is. Like,
it's holding a 63 on OpenCritic, and it seems like a lot of people are like, oh, this plays like an old game. And it's like,
well, that's what
it's doing. Like it's designed. I don't know. Yeah. Like it's exactly what I want out of this. Like I don't quite know what they want. It's not Resident Evil 4. It's not trying to be though. It's trying to be a classic survival horror game.
That one I was telling you to play. I cannot remember the name of it right now. But like
Tormented Souls, is that?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That is like when they got praised for being that because it was an indie budget game.
Yeah, it's a shame that this is coming out of the Embracer Group because it's never going to get a sequel. So, one, you didn't hear about it. I've been looking forward to it for a while, but if you hadn't heard about it, you guys weren't like familiar with it having released this past week.
They got like, I'm telling you, man, like the reviews will pop up on my YouTube of new games that did not pop up.
That's a shame. I'm enjoying it, and I hope that hope some people get to go around on it. But it seems everybody in gaming right now is obsessed with Dragon's Dogma 2. Jeff, you bounced back and forth on whether you were going to play this game.
Yeah.
You decided on getting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony did as well. And I have some thoughts from Tony because I asked him a question.
Okay.
But tell us about Dragon's Dogma 2.
Well, first off, it was like this is a week where there was like three games coming out where I was like all three of them I could potentially picture myself buying. And I'm like, which one is the one? You know what I mean? Like and it comes at the tail end of me like being very desperate for a new game. I think that is important as well.
Yeah, but, you've been like, there's nothing to play.
Yeah, there's nothing to play. And the games that came out this week, I think it like easily won. Like, I'm sorry, like that Princess Peach game looks like garbage to me. Like, it just looks like okay. Maybe if I was like a little girl and this is my first game, that would be great. But I'm not gonna fucking buy that.
Buy it eventually.
No, I honestly played the demo. I thought it sucked. The other game was like that fucking Rise of the Ronin, which
yep.
seemed up my alley, but I was like, but everyone seems to be like enthralled by Dragon's Dogma 2, so I got that, and like it's hard for me to like form like a really like good opinion about it yet, and I think we'll talk about it more when Tony comes on, but I don't know, like I don't find it significantly different than the first one in any way. Like it's like
oh no.
Well, like a lot of reviews are like, this is kind of just a remake of the first one. And it's like kind of, yeah.
To the point where from what I'm hearing is that the title card does not say Dragon's Dogma 2, it just says Dragon's Dogma.
I did not notice that. But okay. It's good. Like it's hard for me to form like a big enough opinion about this because I'm so like early in it yet. You know what I mean? Like I've put probably about 15 hours into the game, but like it's a big game, and so like my mind might change about it as it goes on, and. Yeah, like, I don't know. It is, in some ways, like, it's just a very traditional, like, third-person fantasy RPG where you have, like, a party and you go out and do quests. You know what I mean? Right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
The big hook of the series is that pawn system, which was in the original. That's a neat idea, and that's not like some of your party members, like you could fill out with like other players, like characters, like you could use them.
So, like you had for a bit, you were playing with like a pawn Tony had created.
Yeah, and then now I have some dude whose pawn is named Cat Dude.
Is it a cat dude?
You know, I should probably look closer at him. I'll let you know. But, yeah, I don't know. It's fun. It's not, like, perfect in any way. It's very, like, You have like stuff like Baldur's Gate 3, like which like blew the doors out on like narrative and just so well designed in every aspect. And you have Elden Ring, which blows the doors out in terms of gameplay and every other aspect. And this is just kind of like, yeah, it's the middle of the road. Like, I don't get what the big deal is. I'm sorry. I know, like, Sean wanted to say something different. Or, like, it's just, I don't know. Like, there's interesting things to it. Like, here's what I'll say about Dragon's Dogma 2 is that, like, it has enough charm that I'm intrigued by it. Like, it has enough. First off, I like fantasy RPGs, so like, you kind of got me there. The pawn thing is like neat, but it's not enough to be like, oh, this is what makes it different. It's just like whatever. It's just a thing. It's a mechanic at the end of the day.
Sounds like a bunch of weird ideas thrown together.
Yeah, and it feels like the more I play it, the more I see where people say this are coming from, where it's like there's like a Monster Hunter influence. Like, to me, it feels like Monster Hunter slapped together with a traditional RPG, because like there's things about Monster Hunter that are in this, like that you'll be harvesting specific parts of the things that you kill.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, just when you kill something, you can go up to it and examine it and you know, pull things off of it, and you'll get different things every time. Like, from the same beast, you'll get different things every time. Just like Monster Hunter. Like, oh, I got a tooth. Oh, I got an eye next time. Like, and the like appeal to this game, besides like the pawn system, is like, I kind of think like the charm is the fuckery of it. Like, we're just, it's just kind of goofy. Things go kind of wrong. Things kind of go kind of off rails. Everyone's getting attacked by different things at the same time. It's just blowing up. People are flying around like ragdolls. And that's kind of, I think, like what people like about this series. Like, it's just kind of what I'm honing on in on too. Like, I'm like, I can see that. Like, I get it. But again, at the end of the day, it's like, in my opinion, it does have some of the specific questline shit that I like love about Baldur's Gate, where it's like, I'm trying to think of an example. Okay. So tonight I was trying to get through this, like trying to get to this city, and you need a pass to get through the city. And the pass that I got was for beasts only, and I'm not a beast. I'm a human.
Okay.
Fuck. Okay. Well, this is the only pass I had to get, you know, through these gates. I found a shop that sells a beast mask. I bought the mask, I put that on, and it worked. I was like, oh, that's pretty fucking neat, you know? Like, that's a cool little, like...
It's goofy.
Like, I like shit like that. Like, you know, like, it's just, like, these little, like, specific things. I'm trying to think of something else. Anyways, I don't know. I'm kind of reserving judgment on it, because I don't want to like go. Okay. I don't want to go like too strong one way or the other on it. Like right now, being like 12 to 15 hours in on it, because like I could see my opinion going either way on it.
All right. So I'll ask you what I asked Tony. How much am I going to hate this game?
I don't see you liking it. I don't because you play Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen or whatever, like the first one, right?
I recently played some of that game, and I don't get the appeal of that.
And I don't think that this game is like that much, like, yeah, it's better. I'm sure, like, it's appealing to me more than the first one. But when I played the first one, it was, like, way out of date, like, you know, very recently. And I was like, I don't know. And, but, like, this is not that different. Like, it really isn't not that different. And I think some of my reaction to the game comes from, like, when I played the first one, I was just coming off at Elden Ring, and it pales in comparison to it. And playing this one, I was starved and desperate for something to play. I was like, oh, hell yeah. Fantasy RPG, I'm walking around in a cloak, and fucking, I got a fucking little scepter. Fuck yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
And you have your, like, Dungeons and Dragons party with you.
Yeah, it's hard to, and it's hard to say. Like, I personally think that, like, if you personally, like, if you disliked the first one, I wouldn't recommend this.
So, what I played of the first one, and this from about 10 days ago, I wrote this down. So I was like, I started playing Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen. I'm going to need someone to explain to me why people love this game. Aside from the cool pawn feature, it seems like a pretty generic fantasy game with mediocre combat. That's from the time I put into Dark Arisen, that's where I fall on Dragon's Dogma.
If I'm being completely honest with myself, like, you're not too far off from where I am. Because there are things about the combat that is cool for sure, but like, at the end of the day, I'd so rather play Elden Ring. Like, I that combat is just so much better, and this is just like, I don't know, dude. Like, half the time I'm fucking cooking up my spell, and fucking everyone else has killed everything for me, and I'm like, okay,
well, I guess we're done.
And I finally got a thing where, like, it's like an upgrade, like a level up thing, where it's like, oh, I gotta, like, speed up my spell speed. But, like, yeah, I don't, the combat's okay, and it's the thing I kind of look forward to in it, but it's not like, I mean, end of the day, compared to fucking Elden Ring, the combat is shit compared to Elden Ring. It's nothing. Like, and I'm sorry for our fucking Dragon's Dogma fans to hear this, but, like, I just gotta be honest about how I feel about it. Like, I think the game is pretty good. I think the game, at the end of the day, for me, this game is, like, it has its fuckery, and it has its charms, and the fuckery is the charm of the game. And that's kind of it. Like, it's not like, the jankiness of the game is kind of like the charm of the game, right? And yeah. I get that now, and I'm having fun, but at the end of the day, I'm like, as soon as the fucking Elden Ring DLC drops, I'm out. See you later. Probably long before that, but it's good. The game is good. I'm not trying to discourage people from playing it, and I do think probably I made the best bet out of all the new games that came out this week, but I'm short of, like, crowning this game anything. I'm like, it's interesting.
Okay. So I was, because, I mean, in our group chat, and I mean, it's hard to get a feel, right? Like, you're like, hey, this is pretty cool. Like, I was getting a feel that you and Tony were like, this is awesome. Tony is a little more muted on it as well. Here's what he wrote me today. There's a lot of open world exploration, and while there is a quest system, it's not always clear what to do next.
Yeah.
Pawn stuff is great, which I from my experience with the first one, that was the coolest thing.
It's neat, yeah.
The vocation system is one of the most interesting RPG upgrade systems I've seen in a while. I don't know what that is, so hope you can explain that when he's on next time.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to expand on that?
Yeah, it's just you could change your class.
Okay.
It's just a respecking, and what's cool about it is the game has, like, 4 starting classes. And as you get deeper into the game, you can unlock other classes. And if you want to change that class, you can. And so, like, all that, that's very cool.
Okay, yeah, like, just being able to immediately, like, take on a new class of character.
And just,
that's pretty cool.
And just a class that wasn't there before, yeah. Like,
yeah, that's
that is cool.
All right, he says, the combat is tough and rewarding, but not Dark Souls tough. Failure's not the learning mechanic. Fast travel is quirky, but it's growing on them. Safe system sounds a lot more punishing in theory than it is in practice. I'm not really sure. I don't know anything about the safe
system. I don't know because I'm always doing quick resume, so I don't get how it works.
Okay. And ultimately, answering the question, he's like, I don't think it'll be your favorite game ever, but there are definitely cool things about it. So,
yeah.
I don't know if he's ready to crown it game of the year either.
No.
Seems like it is a good game and maybe better than the first one in some ways, but also just like a redo of that first one.
That kind of all checks out. I forgot. Go back over the first one or two things he said.
Yeah. Bring it back up. A lot of open world exploration, and the quest system's not always clear.
Okay. It's not open world in the same way that Elden Ring or Breath of the Wild is. It's just not. It's traditional open world where you're going to different zones. And I think that one of my biggest knocks against the game is, like, the map is terrible. It absolutely fucking sucks. And, oh, we're not going to give you check, or we're not going to give you, like, waypoints and stuff. That makes it, like, cooler. No, it doesn't. No, it sucks. And I'm sorry, Elden Ring, you can do that shit. Like,
I think that'll be a big sticking point for me when I get around to playing this.
It's annoying, like, dude. It's so, like, you're trying to navigate. That's like a big part of an RPG, and the worst thing here, in my opinion, is when you pull open the map, you can't see where your icon is. Like, your icon is so goddamn small, like your little arrow, that even when you zoom in, you're like, where the fuck is my icon? I can't find it. It's terrible. Like, the map system is fucking terrible. And I'm sorry, dude. I'm not going to, like, give excuses for this game just because I think it has its charms. That shit sucks. It's shit that Elden Ring had right. So, sorry.
I'm not super keen on, like, hey, I pick up a quest, but we're not really going to, like,
show you where it is. If you talk to the right person in a town with, like, 300 people, you can find them. Yeah, thanks, dude.
Yeah. But we'll see. I'm sure we'll talk more about Dragon's Dogma as we advance on through the year, probably next week.
It's good. We'll talk about it next week. It's an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Maybe.
Jeff reserves the right to down that score.
I'm so early in it, in my opinion. Like, I'm sorry, 15 hours into a game like this, if you have a strong opinion, you're wrong. Like, it could go anyway, you know?
Yeah, so what I did, I have not played Dragon's Dogma 2 at all yet. My understanding of the game is just, you know, from with you guys in the group chat, you know, people talking about it on podcasts, and then what I'm seeing on Twitter, and I am catching some stuff on Twitter of people being like, the enemy variety is not great. Like, the first time you see a griffin, it's awesome, but like the 15th time you see a griffin,
it'd be like in Breath of the Wild if like the Hinox thing is like all you saw. It was like, oh yeah, okay, that's the big enemy, cool, like I'm gonna see that every time if I travel out of a town. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Again, it's like the people that want to like crown this game, I think, are a little crazy. Like, it's cool. It has neat ideas. It is a flawed RPG that like I needed a game to play, and it fits the bill. But it's not like a perfect game by any means.
I'm interested to give it a look, but I was more excited to play Alone in the Dark, which, I mean, I know I sound like a crazy person saying that, but it's a series I have fondness for, so I wanted to play that first. I will get to Dragon's Dogma at some point.
Oh yeah,
That's only a couple months away now, where Elden Ring's Shadow of the Urge Tree expansion will release. So Jeff, you don't have too much longer to wait.
Join us.
Real quick, there was a few pieces of news. One, PAX East was this past weekend. They announced that PAX East will be returning next year as well to Boston, and it's going to be in May this year, not frozen year. March.
But yes, I am very happy for it to not be around Easter, be around a gauntlet of birthdays, and not to be around anything really.
Yeah, it's like an empty spot.
Yeah, so I'm excited to actually maybe be able to go for once. I went before the pandemic. I went right before the pandemic.
The week of the pandemic, we were both in Boston.
Yeah, kind of. That was, even then, that was like end of February. But this month in particular is just like a pain in the keister. But like when they said, I'm like, oh, May is good. May's quiet. May I can do stuff with. So I'm hoping, I'm saying that. Who knows what a year out will look like.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to be able to go next year. Because it would be nice to also meet random folks that I've known on the social webs.
Yeah. I love PAX East. But yeah, it's traditional scheduling has not always been the best weekend
for me to be able to get up. One of the things they used to do, and they didn't do it this year, is they would connect it to Easter. So around Easter weekend, which always made it impossible. Because, it makes sense because it's a 3-day weekend for a lot of people. But then travel would be more expensive than everything else because it is a holiday weekend. So
yes. And a couple pieces of news here. Embracer has sold Gearbox and some of Gearbox's subsidiaries to 2K. Gearbox has announced that a new Borderlands game is in development. So, surprise! More Borderlands.
Yeah, just time for the movie.
Sure, the movie is supposed to be this August, so
we will see.
It's been shelved for 3 years. It's gonna be great. Don't worry about it.
Maybe we'll see. Good on them, I guess. I don't know. Embracer bought all these studios up, and now they seem to be either selling them back to them or selling to other people. So,
yeah, I think they already announced day off after this happened today. It's been a very busy day.
Every day is layoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think today was the first time we've heard words of ones from Nintendo.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
They, they're restructuring their testing group. So, they're bringing some people on. They were contractors. So in theory, it's technically not AOS because they weren't full-time.
Their contracts are just up.
So they're bringing some of them in full-time as employees, and then they will, reposition in their test. And I think that's only for Nintendo of America. So,
okay.
Yeah. The other bit of news to discuss this week, I mean, there's a few things, but Marvel Rivals was announced for PC right now.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everything people are saying is it's coming to consoles, but it hasn't been announced as such. And this is Marvel Overwatch. This is I believe it's 6v6?
Yes.
Team-based third-person shooter, which is a very interesting genre to have with superheroes because I don't think most of them shoot. I guess Iron Man's there. You have Hulk, you have Penny from not from Spider-Verse, but people would know from Spider-Verse and stuff like that. But yeah, it's I don't want to say it's interesting. I like Overwatch. I'm a fan of Overwatch. Overwatch 2 has its share of issues. This looks like a slower Overwatch, which is like,
that's not great.
Fun.
I saw some tweets saying that this was like a very troubled development.
Yes, it also seems like they're kind of like one of those things. I was talking to some friends. I posted this elsewhere, and I was like, they were like, you can't trust the developers. I'm like, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. So I went to NetEasy's website, and I'm like, oh no, this is legit. I cannot. This is all like jank. This is all.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say mobile because I think mobile has good games. This is all like, crap. Well, there was that Game Mill?
Yeah, Game Mill. I know Game Mill.
I know Game Mill. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Just saying, Jeff.
But I'm not sure either.
But, the people who kind of turn out like generic looking stuff. That is just lesser versions of other popular games. It's the same of video games, essentially. But yes, I think the beta is out soon, and I'm curious to hear impressions. I think it would do well because it had the Marvel license, and I think they've been doing a decent job with it. But we will see.
Is it free to play or?
Yes, it's free to play.
Okay.
It's free to play, but yeah, from what I've heard. Yeah.
I am concerned with, as Earl said, it being a third person shooter because that seems weird. for superheroes.
Yeah. If anything, it would have made a bit more sense to maybe be a MOBA. Instead of
sure.
I guess we'll see how it comes about, but yeah, I was like, it's exciting, and then I saw the game. I'm like, I will still try it if it's because it's free, but I'm like,
fair enough.
This is more in Jeffrey's World House.
Oh, Game Mail?
Yes. What is it? F-Zero Maximum Velocity is coming to the game, the NSO. But that there's also updates to F-Zero 99 this week, which I think added more features and I think more tracks. I'm happy that they continue to support it. I'm still kind of mad about Mario 35, so
just check it out. Maximum Velocity, that's the
gameplay advance one.
GBA, yeah. I remember it being pretty good. Will I play it now? And what would it be like playing it now? Who knows?
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah.
It's free, at least worth giving it a go on NSO.
It is a good, it was a good GBA, F-Zero game, for sure. Okay. But, I don't know. I feel like the GameCube F-Zero kind of set new, standards
It has such standards. It's also kind of the end of the standards.
Yeah.
The last one in the franchise. I mean, I guess technically F-099 counts as a new entry in the franchise.
And it's, I'd probably rather play that than the GBA one. So,
which one was the GameCube one? GX?
Yeah. And then
yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Arcade version of it.
That game, I thought the story mode was so difficult, but like the arcade mode was awesome. And it was just an awesome game. Like, there's a reason people will remember it.
It's a great looking game. So.
Yeah, I mean,
still.
Yeah, I mean, F-Zero, but I also kind of miss Extreme G. I wish that would come back. I mean, I guess Wipeout has come back, but. Eh.
I had Extreme G. It was all right.
Yeah, but other than that, it has really kind of, we were gone for 2 weeks and it was super quiet. Like you mentioned PAX and like GDC happened, I think the same week or the weekend before. Yep. And I'm just like, you would think something would come out. But no, it's been a really quiet 2 weeks and I don't see that changing much. I posted this on Twitter. It's like, there are not, like, after this March rush, like Jeff mentioned, we had Princess Peach, we had Rise of the Ronin, Dragon Dogma 2.
There is nothing.
And it is like a dry spell across the board. I'm not saying that there aren't games coming out, but I don't think there's like big games coming out. Like, I think the next big game is Hellblade.
I mean, if we want to call that a big game, sure.
I'm trying to think of like what's even in April.
Stellar Blade is in April. That seems to get some buzz. People seem to be hyped for that one.
Okay.
Shit.
But yeah, Hellblade 2. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a game.
Yeah, I mean, there's games coming out, like, but Nintendo, I think most of the rest of the year is remakes or remasters with like Luigi's Mansion, Paper Mario. I mean, Endless Oceans is a sequel that's in May, but I wouldn't consider that a big game. I don't know what Sony has.
That's a good question. I don't know. Like, I mean, at least we know, like, and maybe none of this hits, but we know Hellblade, we know Indie, we know Avowed. For on the Xbox side, I don't know anything from Sony.
Yeah,
I feel like this is gonna be such an off year. It just already is shaping up to be like a really off year.
And then it's a double whammy because, again, it's hearsay and speculation—not speculation, but it's like, you know, second I heard this, but like, you know, people came back from GDC. One of the things about GDC is it is. I mean, I was going to say it's a game developer conference, but that's what it stands for. But it is for game developers. And I think one of the things that people came away with is like, you know, like there's a, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a lot of smoke around a PlayStation 5 Pro. And developers being, we don't understand the purpose of this device. Like, we feel like the PlayStation 5 itself is still kind of a part where it's getting started. And I feel that's the case with both that Xbox, where it's like, even though they've been on the market for over 3 years now, 3.5 years.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
It doesn't feel like these are consoles that are in need of a refresh, and not necessarily from a tech standpoint, but
they need to start. They need to start. Yeah. Like, dude, like, Xbox and PlayStation 5, I'm like, what are the big games? Like, you can point to, like, a couple, but it's like on PlayStation 5, Demon's Souls. Okay, dude, it's a remake of a 2009 game. Great, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's very limited in terms of, like, this is the new shit.
Right, yeah. Like, Demon's Souls, Spider-Man 2.
That Spider-Man 2, great game, I guess. I don't know, I didn't play it.
Final Fantasy Rebirth, those are the big ones, right? Like, yeah, because everything else, we got a World was also on PS4, so...
Take yourself back to the 360 generation where it was like, guess what? We have a new franchise. It's Gears of War. Guess what? We have a new franchise. It's something Bioshock. Yeah. Like, it was just like, always like everything was like new and fresh and exciting, and I was like, yeah, we can remake those games for you. Thanks, dude.
Appreciate it. I mean, we are getting something. You got Elden Ring this generation. You got we got Starfield, which maybe, you know, who knows what happens with that.
Elden Ring is not even this gen.
Yeah, really? No, it was also cross gen. Yeah. You're not wrong. Like, what's Starfield's like the big one, right?
And you're
like,
working on the next hardware? Like, come on, dude. Like, you can't even come up with the fucking software.
What does Sony have on their side that's not a sequel or Returnal?
It seemed cool for what it was, but like, it just seemed like in that generation, the 360 generation, it was like real new advancement. And yeah, that's like
we had Gears come out and then, right? Like you had Uncharted, you had the Last of Us.
You had Resistance, you had
BioShock.
What's the other big shooter?
You had Dark Souls.
Yeah, Dark. Yes, and
Dark Souls came out then. Yeah,
it's not even like a purpose of like, oh, secret, like, you're not. But it's like, yes, it's to the point where it does feel like everybody's not even running the tech, but people are just trying to figure out how to make games on a consistent schedule.
What's a profitable?
Yeah, and we're just at the point now where it's like, it's very much Sony, and I assume Microsoft, because Microsoft has, but I think they're doing a sim or like a digital only version or whatever. But it's like this expectation now, like, oh, we do mid console refreshes because it helps boost the hardware sales, which worked out when it was like a super hot device at all these games. But like, now it just feels like, oh, we're doing a mid gen refresh because that's what you expect. But it doesn't affect mid-gen because the generation feels like it's still kind of at the starting line. Like, we're still waiting for, like...
Yeah.
Again, there's some really good and great games, but I feel like we're still waiting for, like, that experience that, like, defines any of these consoles. And I'm specifically saying that for the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox, you know, ones, which is much older. Like, I feel like Breath of the Wild was, like, that experience for people. Even though Zelda is a very defined franchise, it was an experience that I think was very much, oh, we were not getting anything else like this before.
It's close to it. And that was funny because that was on the last system as well. Like, you could play it on Wii U.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't feel like there's been the defining, like, game of this generation. Like, and if it was, it's not because of the hardware. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like this generation is so stagnant and kind of like figuring out what the game industry is now, that like there's few things. Like, there's like Baldur's Gate 3 where you're like, holy shit, that was amazing. But the rest of it is like kind of garbage, in my opinion. At least a lot of what I played recently, I'm like, this is not good.
No, and again, it's, you know, everybody's going to have different opinions and different tastes and stuff like that. But yeah, it does. And again, not to discredit that, you know, this generation, not the game, there's been some really great games. Like we said, I think, you know, Repeated Dash, it was a really fantastic year for games, not development or the industry, but for games.
But for multi-console,
yeah,
anything. Yeah.
But again, it's not even about the multi. It's more about the fact that there is no, like, this generation feels like it exists because we continue to make generations, yeah, and not because it was an answer to, like,
without a reason.
Yeah, it's like not like, okay, you know, like, we had this big bold idea that we wanted to try. It's like, you know, you mentioned it, you know, 360 and the PS3 era for, but like really the big thing for that generation was HD graphics and online gameplay.
Yeah, it's like there's just nothing new now, and it's like, yeah, they show you the new Ken Levine game, you're like, that looks like BioShock. Like, thanks, I guess. Like, yet again. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just nothing out there that I'm, like, super hyped about. Like, there's not, like...
That's fine. Like,
we're dead. We're good.
Yeah, I mean...
We all die.
I don't know about that. But, I mean, yes, I do know.
We do.
I can't dispute that, but I don't know if you know that's.
You don't agree here. That like games are a little stagnant at this present moment? Like, I don't know. It's just me being in the spring and being like, God damn it, where are the good games at? And they're coming.
Well, and I think it's gonna get worse before it gets better because I mean, again, we're 3 months into the year.
Dead Switch console. Dead.
And we've seen close to 10,000 people laid off in the industry. Some will find jobs in it. Some of them will just disappear. And it's like, you know, you're using expertise, using experience, you're using skill sets, using different viewpoints and stuff like that. And then there's just not as much investment in gaming because, you know, like, as much as the industry likes to point out, like, you know, they make more more gross revenue than movies. They, you know, it doesn't account for the fact that it's much more expensive to produce video games. It's also higher ticket. It's higher prices. So you're also not getting as big of a cut. Like you get a cut, your percentage wise, you're getting a smaller cut than you would from purely a movie. And then the fact of the matter is that. There's no nice way to say this. We really have not grown the industry since the Wii. If you were to look at the numbers of like the Wii, the 360, and the PS3, compared to like the Wii U, the PS4, and the Xbox One, compared to like right now, I'm assuming they would all kind of come in very similar numbers of about a total of 250 to 300 million people or units, I should say. Because some of it, again, is like people like us. Like I assume, I had two Switches. I've had almost every iteration of the Xbox from the 360. I've had the 360, the 360 Slim, the Xbox One, the Xbox One X, and then I have a Series X. So like, there are people like us who are buying two or three versions of the same console. So that doesn't fit the numbers. So it's that thing where it's like at some point we have to figure out how to grow it if you want it to remain healthy, or you're selling to an audience that's captive, but it's an audience that isn't growing and in some ways does shrink because you kind of do get set in your ways. And at some point it's like, oh no, I'm not going to try this. I enjoy these types of games and this is what I'm going to go for.
Yep. Anything else, guys?
My butthole.
Okay.
I guess
this is why he knows his gay males.
We'll be back next week. With more Dragon's Dogma, I am sure. Whatever Earl and myself are playing as well. And we near up on WrestleMania, which Earl and I should hopefully link up at.
Yes, maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll buy WWE 2K24. I just don't want to because I know it's always a game that goes on sale.
Yeah, understandable. Yes. That is one that, like, in a couple months will be on discount.
Yeah.
But, yep, we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
Sultry.